On this Monday morning, we've got Gleeso with us as well. How are you, Gleeso?
Good morning. I'm very well. Nice to be back in the seat. Roo's warmed seat. Lovely.
Buttocks. His golden buttocks. Keeping it warm. Yeah,
I got a bit of rock news later on with Gleeso. You've got a big gig coming up. Is it later this week?
Yeah, it is.
Later this week. Talk a bit about that. Loz, Dad's 70th birthday over the weekend.
It was a massive one.
Was it?
Yeah, it was actually a great day. It was a very emotional, lovely day. We all had a few champers and, it was really fun. I got accosted by every person.
Accosted.
Because I was late for work on Friday.
Yeah, there are no secrets here.
No, that's right. And every second person I saw, uncles I haven't seen in years. Oh, hi, I'm Uncle Michael. How are you going? How come you was late? Well, you get a little bit tiddly, did you? I said, well, look, it's a long story, actually. You know, it's a funny old job. Everyone knows about it when you're half an hour late for work. So, that was my weekend.
Yeah. All right. Hey, big news. The Vault, we will play it twice. Each morning this week until it goes. It may go off this morning, obviously, but the $10,000 vault, we'll do it at 7 a.m. and 8 a.m.
because that's awesome.
It's our last week on air and we want it to go away. We want it to go off. We want it to go off is what I meant to say.
Go off like a frog in a sock.
There you go. $10,000. So hopefully someone will be successful this morning, but you'd think that by the end of the week, we will definitely give it away.
Bloody oath. You want to get a hold of us quicker? Get us on the text line 0488 51047. Thanks to Automasters. Switch and save.
Children, I have some exciting news.
You are fake news.
Hello, Adelaide.
Triple M Breakfast with Roo, Dits and Loz.
Overnight news.
What is making news around the place?
Omicron. Yes. Sorry.
You're right.
Gleeso, you were going to go. I was looking at my phone.
No,
you going to come in?
No worries. I'm fine. I'm just, throwing me two bobs worth in.
Yeah, Omicron's happening, though. That's the new variant of COVID.
When I first heard it, I thought it sounded like a transformer.
It might be.
And I wondered why they'd come up with that name, because they use Greek letters of the Greek alphabet.
Yes, yeah.
But it turns out that Omicron is actually a letter of the Greek alphabet.
It's the 15th letter.
Small O, apparently.
Small lowercase O.
So what's Omega then? Omega's not the O in...
Oh, don't ask me that question.
Okay. This is not the room to throw intelligent questions in.
If any Greek people could ring in 133353, I thought Omega.
It's just a fish oil and they'll leave it at that.
All right.
No, but apparently the doctor who sort of started flagging it in South Africa where they first started having cases, she's spoken about it, Angelique Coetzee. And we've got a bit of audio of that. Hey, Do.
But looking at the mildness of the symptoms that we are seeing, currently there's no reason for panicking as we don't see severely ill patients. The most predominant clinical complaint is severe fatigue for 1 or 2 days. Some of them will have what they call a scratchy throat.
Well, that doesn't sound too bad, does it?
No, it sounds like a hangover.
Yes, exactly.
Lie down and a Bex.
All right, now moving on. A story out of the UK. If you're over there listening, this is sad. This is bad. They're going to run out of booze before Christmas. There's a shortage.
It's serious.
Imagine Christmas Day and you haven't got your favourite bottle of wine or whatever.
What is it? All booze? Is it spirits or beers? Everything.
Wine and spirits.
The joint will absolutely erupt.
Can you imagine?
They will be rioting in the streets.
They're no good without a bit of a lubrication over there. It's a bit like Australians. We need it. Yeah. It just eases us up, I
Plus,
think.
Imagine the rallies that you've got to sit with who are a pain in the ass.
And
you've
sober.
Got without, yeah, without grog.
It's not possible.
The people that you have to see and put up with once a year and you go, oh, my God.
No, I refuse to do it.
That's right.
I'm not coming.
Hey, speaking of all things British, the Ashes are only about a week away, the first test at the Gabba. The Poms have released a statement saying that if... Aussie abuse from our crowds is too over the top. They'll stop play. So if the sledging from the crowd, if it's too harsh, Joe Root, the captain, has said, I've instructed all of our players that we will stop play.
But they had to release a statement to their own, to the Barmy Army the other day, from the top of the Barmy Army, saying, don't bully Tim Payne anymore. He's got mental health issues.
Mm.
And we have a UK producer on our weekend show. She went, too bloody likely. Not going to happen. There's no way we're going to ease back on that bastard.
But isn't it, it's kind of counterintuitive, because if you say, hey, back off. Everyone's going to get a bit hurt if you say something too full on.
Yeah.
Boom. Yep. I mean, I'm straight out with. I mean, it's not that hard to come up with something to bag Joe Root about, is
no,
it?
No.
It's kind of like he's first in the firing line.
All right. What else is making news, everybody?
Kim Jong-un.
Yeah. All right.
He's
our favourite Polly.
Yeah. Our favourite Polly. He's got a new rule. No one's allowed to wear leather jackets except him.
No
it's
one.
It's his look. He's the Fonz.
He's
okay?
The Fonz.
Right. Yeah. You don't see Richie Cunningham wearing a leather jacket, do you?
Right.
Because it's his look. He said, no, this is my style. I don't want to. Like anyone there can afford a leather jacket anyway. I mean, they can barely afford to eat. So I don't think it's going to be a problem. But yeah, so if you're going to North Korea. No leather jackets.
Wow. No bodgy haircuts.
No.
All right, that's what's making news around the world.
I don't know where Loz is, but I know we were going to talk about WA shutting its border all thanks to the Omicron outbreak. Apparently, I could be wrong.
All right, here she is running into the studio right now. Loz is here sometimes and sometimes she isn't. Wow. You just never know.
She's on Loz's
time. I was like, we waited as long as we could. The song nearly faded out.
You told me I had 5 minutes.
We did have five minutes.
You said, unlike Tom, we've got a bit of length to play with.
In the next break. But you're here now. And that was one of the things you brought up in the meeting that made us just drop our jaws as WA has already gone, stuff your SA.
It's
we're
true.
We're shutting the border.
Yeah, well, Mark McGowan. See, the way I see WA and the way I describe them, if people ask, not that anyone has, but they're like the kid who is overprotected by the parents its whole life. It never drinks. It never tries anything. It never kisses anyone. Mm. You know, it goes to church. It's a good little thing. And then it turns 18, goes out for its 18th, has 9 Jaeger shots, and then craps its pants on the dance floor.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have any real world.
Like my life story.
Real life experience. And I feel like it's so pure over there and they shut the border any time someone sneezes.
Yeah.
But it's not real life. At some point, they're going to have to integrate and assimilate.
Play with other kids.
Play with other kids.
Yeah.
And I just don't know. Yeah, I just don't know how this is meant to work.
They do, you know, how can I put this? They actually want to be their own country, don't they?
They
At the end of the day, they want to secede and you know, they are different to us. I'm sorry, but they are. You would talk about people always said that Tasmanians had a chip on both shoulders. I'll tell you what, Western Australians, my God.
Yeah. How are they different?
They detest the rest of us like you wouldn't believe.
Well, they've been wanting to secede for 100 years.
Yeah.
There was even the theory about could they detonate, could they blow up, you know, TNT all the way along the border and actually drift away? That was one of they wanted to.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, there are one bloke had a theory about that.
Why do they hate us so much, do you think?
I've honestly got no idea.
If anyone's listening from who's lived in WA or, you know, has any experience, what is it about the rest of the country that makes your spine tingle so much? Why are we so disgusting? I mean, there's the obvious reasons, like the COVID and stuff.
I think it's just because they're forgotten. So I reckon here in South Australia, we're partly, you know, angry with the eastern states because, you know,
we get bullied.
It's always, where's Adelaide and who would live in South Australia?
Yeah.
I think the further you travel west, it just gets worse and worse, I think. You're like, they're way over there. And I think they struggle because of the time zone. Try to do business with someone in Sydney when, you know, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon in Perth and you go, what, Sydney's already closed for the day? You've got to be joking. I think there are a lot of little things like that that come up.
And I think because they're so big, I mean, in America, you've got all of these states and they're really far apart on the east and west coast, but it's there's so many things in between that it kind of cushions the distance a little bit.
Yeah.
But there it's just like, I mean, the thought of driving along the Nullarbor kind of scares the crap out of me.
And let's just remember for a moment that Mark McGowan is a Newcastle boy. So
is that why you're quiet?
Yeah.
Is he really?
Yeah, he was born in Lake Macquarie. He moved from there when he was about 10 years old to Casino. And I think his link with West Australia came, he was in the Navy. And I think he was posted to Fremantle. I could be making all this up. Oh. No, but he's definitely a Newcastle boy from the beginning.
Whoever, by the way, named that town Casino, I just love them. They had a sense of humour, didn't they? Let's call it our town Casino.
It's like paradise.
It is. It's unbelievable. Where do you live? My town's called Nightclub.
Where do you live? Pub.
Well, that's not too far out of the question.
Funnily enough, all three of us are hills dwellers, aren't we? Yeah. I mean, you live in the city now, Loz, but we're all from the hills, and it is snake season.
It is.
Indeed.
Are they prevalent at your joint, Gleeso?
Oh, I haven't seen any this season so far, but I've seen
over the journey,
plenty over the years. Yeah.
What's your go-to? What do you do?
I tell the kids to go inside and get the dog out of the way. That's what I do.
Okay.
Mm. Or if they look like they might be getting too close to the house, I shoo them off.
Shoo them. Mm. Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
I just kill them with a shovel. I'm kidding.
The protected species.
Never actually killed a snake personally, but I grew up with them heaps in the house, and I had one in my bedroom when I was like, I think I was just 17 or something. There was one in my room and brown snake curled up on a black art folder that was shining in the sun. And yeah, it was really, but that helped me face my fears because I was really, really afraid of snakes before that. And they were everywhere.
And that cured it.
I think being in the environment and sort of surviving it or whatever, it didn't attack me or anything. And that kind of, I got as close as I possibly could in a closed off environment and I was okay. So it was all right. But we've had them. We have them all around the house. We have, you know, we used to have a cat. They used to drink out of the water bowl of the cat. It was like you would see the cat and the snake drinking out of the bowl at the same time. It was crazy. Yeah. But my friend had a brown snake in her bedroom last night. She had a baby brown snake.
Last night.
I was messaging her and she goes, oh, my God. Oh, my God. There's a brown snake. I don't know. She sent me a picture. It was the size of a pen.
Yeah.
Well,
the small ones,
not that they can get their teeth into you very readily, but because they are young and they don't know how to use their venom, they will put more venom into you.
That's true.
They'll continue to bite.
Is that so?
Yeah.
I'd just finished sitting on the toilet one time and I turned around. There was a little one, probably, about 20 centimetres long behind the toilet.
We're talking about an actual snake? Or?
Yeah. Thankfully, I was finished with what I was doing, but I put a plastic container over it, and it was actually striking at the container. It was dead set. Its head was smaller than a 5 cent piece, but it was very, very cranky. So.
Now, just to the experts out there that always say, because I am fearful, I cannot stand snakes, the ones that I say, no, they'll be more scared of you. They'll worry, well, why the bloody hell are they in our houses then?
Yeah.
If they're that scared of us, what are they doing coming inside?
I'm not going in there. There's people in
there. I know. So please, how does that work?
And the other thing I know is that they generally only kill things that they can eat. And they'll only strike you if they feel threatened. But they're not going to go and bite a cow just for the fun of it because they can't eat a cow.
Well, they cause a lot of problems to, you know, family, dogs and cats.
Mm, yeah, absolutely.
Because you come home and you don't know what's wrong with them and they've been bitten by a snake and, you know, it's crazy how many of them survive a snake bite. I think that's pretty wild. But a family in Adelaide recently had one wrapped around a Christmas tree.
Oh,
so
that's lovely.
In the last 2 days, yeah, only in Australia.
Bloody hell.
All right, 133353, your encounter with snakes. Yeah, tell us your story. 133353.
4-pack of brand new Triple M beer on the line for the best story.
Yeah, last night Loz's girlfriend had a snake in her bedroom.
That's
who you got there, Loz?
I've got Diego from Findon. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Diego. Where was the snake?
So I'm an electrical engineer, and I was walking into a construction site, and it honestly felt like something fell out of the sky into my shirt.
Oh.
I quickly put my hand in my shirt to grab whatever it was, threw it on the ground and saw it was a little brown snake.
You're joking.
I've been sitting outside the site having something to eat, and I can only assume that it crawled up the outside of my clothing.
Hell.
And when I got halfway up the side path, it toppled from my shirt collar into my shirt.
Oh,
that's unbelievable. See, again, what about the theory? No, they won't come near you. They'll be more scared of you. He's lobbed in his shirt. I can't believe it.
John from Seacliff. John, how you going, mate?
G'day, guys. How you going?
Very well, thank you. Where did you find a snake?
I turned the dishwasher on one morning. About 8 o'clock in the morning, and the dishwasher was chugging on, and about 10 minutes into the cycle, out came this 1 metre brown snakes in the back of the dishwasher.
And was this at Seacliff?
Yep.
So I take it now, I'm often told this, John, so in sort of sand dunes and things by the beaches, they reckon there are heaps of snakes down there. So would that be where it came from, do you think?
All that area is full of, you know, national parks, parks, and it's pretty sort of old area sort of thing, you know.
Yeah. They hide in there.
All right, well, he had a wash in the dishwasher.
That's all. It came out squeaky clean.
There you go. Mark at Paracombe. Hello, Mark. This is Loz's territory.
Oh, Mark in Paracombe. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good. Whereabouts are you? Can you name the street?
Murphy Road.
Hey! I grew up on Murray.
You two just catch up.
Star sign.
Yeah.
So, Mark, where was the snake? I know they're everywhere in Paracombe.
Yeah, in my pool, in the skimmer box. I had leant over and taken the lid off the skimmer box to take out the leaf filter, and just as I put my hand in, I noticed there was movement in the water. And I just glanced down, and there was this baby brown floating in the water looking at me.
Cheeky bug.
They do love the water.
They do.
Frightening stuff. Very frightening.
Skin crawls.
And now Kim from Adelaide. Kim, how are you going?
Morning all. Yeah, I'm okay now.
Thank God.
No. What happened?
Well, speaking of the water, I was having a shower about a year ago. Much to my surprise, I looked down just as I was turning off the water and had a brown snake just coming up out of the drain.
Oh, no.
That's now, a nightmare.
Kim, whereabouts was this?
I live at Manapara, and yeah, luckily my shower is in my bathtub. So, it was about probably a centimetre away from my toes. I didn't know if I'd been bitten, but, I hadn't felt anything. And I was trying to get out through the grid.
How did you get it out?
I actually called Adelaide Snake Catchers.
Yep.
Oh,
well done. Well done.
And you didn't get a strike? You were okay?
No, I wasn't sure. Fortunately enough, I ran around the house thinking, oh my God, what am I going to do? And realised, much to my dismay, that I had taken my phone into the bathroom that morning, had to go back into the bathroom and to double check. Yes, I was not hallucinating. There was actually a snake coming out of the drain hole. And proceeded to nearly fall over myself trying to get back out of the bathroom.
Now, when you spoke to Adelaide Snake Catchers, did they say that this was common or very rare?
No, they'd never seen one coming up out of the shower. They'd seen them coming out of the toilet room.
No, because that is my biggest fear in life, is sitting down on the toilet and having the buttock region attacked by a snake. It's a really strange but really strong fear.
Yes. I have very much a big fear now. Every sink has got a plug hole in it or a mesh. It was a metre long once they actually came. They had a look down the drain and said, no, I can't see anything down here. It looked at me a bit strange. And I said, no, I'm sure there's one is still in the bathroom. And they actually found it in the S bend of the sink.
Good on you, Kim. Great call. Well done.
Kim, we're going to send you some Triple M beer, all right, to get over that one.
Everyone's traumatised.
Well, I've never been a drinker before that, but, it's led me to drink.
Oh, rock on. Something's got to lead you to it.
Yeah, that's right. Let's just say glad you're in the shower.
104.7 Triple M's $10,000 vault.
Michael, Mickey boy, how are you?
How you going?
Yeah, really good. Have you done your research, Mick?
I have, roughly, yes.
Okay. All right. Now, what's your combination, mate?
6372.
6372.
Okay, let's put it into the vault for $10,000.
6372.
Michael from Hackham.
Pin. Incorrect.
Oh. I'm sorry, Michael.
All right, so we will do it again at 8 o'clock this morning. Now, the world of television and radio, it can be a tough business. There's often high turnover, isn't there, of staff and on-air presenters?
Not you.
Not, I don't know. Would you believe, the reason I say that, would you believe Channel 7 has just announced it's been number one for the 21st year in a row? Unbelievable. Seven News.
Wow.
Seven News, and of course, the lady, she is still the best newsreader in Australia, and she's been at the helm for, I think, all of these 21 years. Jane Doyle, good morning.
Hi, Ditch. How are you going?
Good,
hi, Ruth.
Thank you. Now, Jane, how many years have you been there for all of those 21?
I have, and a few more beyond.
So how many in total?
32.
32 years? That's unbelievable. Now,
yes,
surely...
I've been sitting in the chair for 32 years when you had short hair.
That's right. Jane, is that the longest you know? Is that a record in Australia or maybe in the world?
No, it's certainly not a record in Australia. I'm getting my colleague Susanna Carr in Perth.
Yeah.
Is ahead of me.
You're
so
joking.
You know, I've either got to kill her off. No, Susanna's been there for even longer.
Hell.
So I've either got to get a hitman on her or I'll never get the record. But she's still reading in Perth. But yeah, we're both getting up there, getting a bit long in the tooth.
No.
Now, Ditz didn't last the full time with you there, but you did have some good years together on the desk. Do you remember those years fondly?
Oh, very fondly indeed. Rue and I, not Rue and I, Ditz and
oh,
I.
Yeah, well remembered.
We did some hard yards together at the desk, didn't we, Ditz?
Yes, we did for sure.
We've actually got a little bit of audio of just the chemistry.
Oh, of course you have.
The strong banter. Okay. This is going back a few years.
Finally, Mark Philippoussis has been handed a wild card for Wimbledon. For tonight, that's our sport. Jane.
The poo, as HG and Roy like to call it.
That's right. Thanks,
not the Winnie variety.
No, the poo. Thanks, Chris.
There you go. A bit of gold there, Jane.
The gold back with Graham Goodings, who was there for a very long time with me.
I heard Graham in the background. Yeah, wonderful. So what is it that you guys do so differently? Why are you guys 21 years number one? What do you think the special sauce is?
Well, I think a lot of it is consistency, and really, you've got to get to know your audience. So when I joined Seven all those years ago, it was made very clear to me that I needed to gain the trust of the audience. So for those first 10 or 15 years, I spent a lot of time going out and meeting our viewers, and I still do. So you're being asked, or you're asking people to invite you into their home, at a time when their kids are around, when they're under a bit of pressure, when they're cooking dinner or they're just home from school or sport or whatever. So you need to have, their trust that you're going to present what they need to know about the day and they need to at least not loathe you. So the best you can ask for is that you you're welcome in their homes. And I think, I've never taken that for granted. I think that's a great privilege for people to invite you into their inner sanctum and have you give them the information they need for the day. And Seven, we've got a great team. We've consistently had a great team over all those years, and various people come and go. I'm now working with young people who are younger than my son. and it's quite, sometimes I have to remind myself that, they're in their early 20s and I'm old enough to be their grandmother. But it never feels like that. It's a real team effort, and it's never just those of us, and Ditz would know this, and you guys know this. It's not just you guys sitting at the desk.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a lot to
it. The whole team behind, and we've got a fantastic team. You'd be surprised how many people at Seven are, have been there as long as I have or longer.
Jane, is there a day that you remember going home from work and that is just really marked, on your brain, in your heart? I remember the Port Arthur day where in the sports department, our boss came over and said, "Boys, go home. There's no sport today." And the bulletin went for a couple of hours. There was that day. I remember Banda Arche talking to Jessica Adamson, who came back and said, "I stood amongst thousands of dead bodies," and that really affected her. Yeah. Obviously, there was September 11. Is there a day? Is there a bulletin for you where it had that sort of effect on you?
Well, all of those and more. The really weird one for me is the 9/11, because everyone expects you to say that was the most significant time in your, in your life, because it was, extraordinary images. But at the time, what nobody knew, well, only those close to me, was at that time I was nursing my mother to her death with brain cancer. Mm. So there was this weird time for me during the 9/11 thing, which went, as we all remember, it was the most hideous event and went for days. But I was going into work and really not seeing it, if you can understand that, because I had a greater drama of my own going on in my own private life. So 9/11 always sticks in my mind for that reason, which is a weird reason, really.
No, but
And for the most tragic of personal circumstances. But the ones that really kill me are to do with children. I mean, the big events are always heartrending, but they're so big and you're so busy doing it. But, you know, I got caught last week. That fire in Melbourne, I had great trouble coming back after that with those four little kids perished in a house fire in Melbourne. Those things are, I think the personal really comes to you more than the big stuff in a funny sort of way.
Yeah.
You know, it can be just a person's response to the tragedy that's engulfed their lives. And there was another one last week with that poor family in the northern suburbs whose little boy with autism climbed over the fence and drowned in the neighbour's pool. I mean, I found that deeply, deeply distressing. And that woman's capacity to sort of express her love on camera source, I thought was remarkable.
Yeah.
You know, those things put a lump in your throat. And
for sure.
You sort of, with the big stuff, you go into professional mode, but those personal ones just catch you out sometimes, if that makes
sense. Yeah. Most definitely. Sense. No, it makes a lot of sense, Jane. You are still number one. You're still the best. Well done. Thanks for joining us. Channel 7 News, 21 years in a row, number one. Good on you. Thanks, Jane.
Thanks, Dibs. Thanks for the time.
Good
bye-bye.
On you. Jane Doyle from 7 News. Now, Lisa, you've been around for a long, long time. Who was your go-to being a Newcastle boy? Was it Brian Henderson? Was he the long...
Hendo was, he was in Sydney, obviously. Newcastle didn't get Sydney reception back in the day.
Really?
Yeah.
We had NBN and 5A. Yeah, right in the sticks. we have John Church was probably the big... Oh, and Ray Dineen. Ray Dineen was huge in Newcastle.
Ray Dineen.
He used to win awards for being very eloquently spoken.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Something we will never, ever claim.
No, exactly, and for good reason.
Time now for sports news with Chris Dittmar and the words out on the Mighty Crows midfield, Chris.
That's right, Graham. Of course, the week off this week, they've been doing some tests on their star on-ballers and the results are quite amazing. That story coming up.
Had they not dropped at that point, Ditz? How were you 15 when you recorded
I was,
that?
Gleeso's with us all this week. In a moment, Gleeso, a bit of rock news. You've got some stories for us, haven't you?
I've been keeping abreast of all the rock goings on.
All right, we'll get to that in just a moment. Before we do, though, Loz had this to say over the weekend, which has got us a bit intrigued.
I work during the week and I work on the weekend, and I got to say, I think the weekend audience are more willing to go with you to the weirdest places.
Yeah.
Than the week time audience, and I really appreciate it.
Jeez, that's huge. That is
massive. Play that during the week because I'll be beaten to death.
No, you won't be beaten to death. Please explain. What's the story?
So it has nothing to do with anyone being better. The weekend audience are just a little bit weirder. They
right.
Like as in you can bring up really weird topics and they get around it.
Oh,
that's
they?
It. Yeah, okay. You can throw stuff out that's a little bit more odd.
So have you ever thought that these are the people you attract then? They're actually listening to you and then responding to you.
Oh, no, I'm fully... Just have a look at my ex-boyfriends. I'm fully aware that I attract weirdos. That's my niche.
Good on you. In a moment, rock news with Gleeso.
And your second chance this morning. Yep, doing it twice a day for that 10 grand to go off this week. Guaranteed.
Celebrities.
Kim Kardashian is back on the dating scene.
Influencers.
Instagram, Triple M Adelaide page, whatever that means.
He's got his ear to the ground.
Got a bit of celebrity news for you.
It's time for Chris Dittmar's
OMG
Celebrity News.
Okay, the Matt Doran saga goes on. I love this story from the other week when he flew all the way to the UK and hadn't listened to Adele's album. We've talked about it a lot. It's fantastic. Anyway, over the weekend, on the weekend Sunrise show, he did an apology.
The day after we landed in London, an email came through from Sony. It didn't mention Adele, but it did contain a link to her album. By missing the album link, however I might try to justify it, I've insulted Adele. To Adele, I say, I'd never have knowingly disrespected you by deliberately not listening to your work. I am so sorry. Adele, track 10, Hold On. In the bridge after the second chorus, you write that sometimes forgiveness is easiest in secret. I'm not expecting that forgiveness, but I do owe you an apology. Thank you so much for joining us this morning here at Weekend Sunrise.
So he's listened to the album now. Yeah. So he tells
us. Honestly, did he cut him off and send him over to her as a sorry?
Oh, I know.
Unbelievable.
OMG.
OMG.
Track 10, 37 seconds in. Yeah.
Apparently, guys, our producer has just informed us that Adele has an answer back to Matt.
Too late,
apologise. Beautiful.
Very good. Okay, moving on. The Queen. Mm-hmm. It turns out, insiders have told us that she only answers the phone to two people. There are only two people that are allowed to ring the Queen. Now, I would have thought Boris Johnson, Prime Minister, I don't know, Joe Biden, or maybe the head of the UN or something.
Sarah.
I don't know. Johnny Warren.
Who?
John Warren. Exactly who? John Warren is a racing manager. So I reckon, it's on a Friday. She must like Ruth. She must go, John, what's going to win the first at Ascot, please?
Yeah, race four.
So I just want to put £2 on it.
And when she does put £2 on it and comes in third, she is not amused.
Johnny's then sacked. Beheaded, in fact. So Princess Anne is the other one.
Yeah.
Her daughter.
Her only child who hasn't really let her down. I think.
Yeah, good point. The two people that can have access to the Queen's phone: John Warren, racing manager, Princess Anne. I found that quite interesting. Lindsay Lohan is engaged to Badar Shamaz, who's the beau. Anyway, quite traditional, I would have thought, to give her a diamond ring.
Sure.
He's given her a diamond-crusted ankle bracelet.
Oh.
Is that so he can track her? Or?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
She's had one of those before.
She has. Not the first one. She's now got one on both ankles.
Beeps when she leaves the building.
That's right. Indeed. Hey, speaking about the royal family, sorry, I just want to go back to Harry and Meghan. You know the BBC is doing a documentary on them, and it's titled Megxit.
Mm-hmm.
How's this? They've had to change the name of the documentary.
OMG!
Harry's complained that Megxit is sexist.
Oh.
So it's now called Sussexit. I can't even say it. Sussexit.
Sussexit.
Sussexit. Yeah, instead of Megxit because it was sexist. There you go.
Sussexit.
Talking about having them cut off and sent somewhere. Yeah. Poor old Harry.
And just finally, Bob Catter, the Mad Catter, the Mad Hatter, refused entry into the Tamworth Hotel yesterday.
OMG.
Couldn't prove that he was double vaxxed.
Oh, yeah.
And he's been banging on about people getting vaxxed as well. And interestingly, he didn't have his documentation. And the Tamworth Hotel said, you know what, we can't come in.
Well, he should know better than to.
Well, there you go. So, plenty of celeb goss.
That's unreal. Bob Catter, to finish with, he is the biggest we've got with that hat.
Yeah.
He really is.
Yeah.
It's time for Rock News.
Yeah.
Oh, Lisa, now you've got a massive gig coming up this week.
I have indeed. Friday, we are playing with the Adelaide Symphony Orchestra as part of the Festival of Orchestra that's going along.
And where is it?
At the showgrounds. So it's outdoor. It's going to be
outdoor.
Yeah. Love it. Orchestra under the stars.
Oh. Beautiful.
And we've done it before, so I'm really boning right up on it at the moment because you can't mess around when you've got an orchestra.
No.
If I decide to put in an extra bar,
yeah,
that's not
going
to it's not going to work.
Yeah.
And what will happen is they'll finish.
The fella will drop his baton.
Yeah, and they don't go, oh, Dave's gone somewhere else. We better follow him. Yeah. They're reading what's on the sheets in front of them. So we all have to be on our game and make sure that we sit in well with the orchestra. Having said that, it sounds massive. Angel's songs really lend themselves to that orchestra.
So this week in the build-up to that, how many times will you all get together and rehearse?
I think we'll do Wednesday, Thursday. We'll be doing some rehearsals.
Yep.
Wednesday will be a kind of just a run-through with the conductor.
Yep. Mm.
And then Thursday we'll get in front of the orchestra itself. And,
fantastic.
A choir that sings as well.
Do you get to know the orchestra?
Not so much. No, they kind of come in. And once again, when you're rehearsing, that gets to 6 o'clock and that's it. There's no kind of, can we just wait 5 more minutes because then it's more pay. It's all union kind of pay and stuff like that.
I wonder what the personality pockets are like.
Loz, what happens is they're given a pep talk. And say, do not mix with rock musicians.
Yeah.
Don't touch them. Don't go near them.
Don't touch that bottle of jam.
He will catch something.
Do not touch that singer.
That's it.
The singers, you can, I'm not a musician, so.
Right, okay.
You can interact with the singer.
Your body's the instrument.
Now, tell us about the gig you did at the Bridgeway. That sounded fascinating. I really wanted to get to that, but I couldn't.
Yeah, it was great fun. Myself, Rob Riley from Rose Tattoo, Stewie Rudd from the bass player from the Super Jesus, Vince from the Zep Boys, he got up and had a sing. Dave Kennedy from a band called Almost Human and Paul Wheeler from Ice House.
Amazing. What a lineup.
It was amazing. And we got up and we did some Rose Tat songs, some Jet songs, some Angel songs, some Zeppelin songs.
Gee.
It was a great night. Over 400 people there. It was all seated as well, I'm not a fan of that. The sooner we can get back to people standing up the front and touching me on the legs, the better.
Bit of human contact.
Giving me drinks. So that was really great fun. And
what's that band called?
The Boys Are Stuck in Town.
I love it.
And we thought we'd do it as a one-off thing, but, you know, with the Omicron version coming into our lives, who knows, we might have to do it again. But great fun.
Terrific. Now, by the way, with this Friday, can we still get tickets?
Yes, there are tickets available. Yep. And they're very reasonably priced. It's not like a massive ticket price. Mm-hmm. So anyone who wants to see something a little bit different, I know people have seen the Angels thousands of times over the years, but it just gives it a bit of a different slant.
Oh, I can say this honestly. I never, ever get tired of seeing the Angels or listening to the songs. No. I just love it.
Well, that's their legacy. I mean, the fact that that they've written so many songs that people have as part of their life.
Yep.
Is amazing.
Yeah. Good on you, Glee. So I'm going to try and get there this Friday. Love it. The Angels and the orchestra.
104.7 Triple M's $10,000 vault.
Okay, we are doing it at 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock each morning this week to try and get rid of it. We're trying to give it away.
$10,000. How good would that be right before Christmas? Yeah. Absolutely perfect.
I want to win.
Guaranteed to go off.
Guaranteed right. This week.
We have got Paul from Victor Harbour on the line. How are you going, Paul?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
I'm very well. We're all very well. Now, $10,000 would be a good kickoff for the Christmas season.
Oh, look, it'd be the most I've ever won in my life, I think.
Oh, okay, what's your combination, Paul? What are the four numbers?
2, 3, 6, 7.
Okay, let's put that into the vault.
2, 3, 6, 7.
For $10,000.
Good luck, Paul.
Thank you.
Pin. Incorrect.
Oh, that was waiting there. That's all. Sorry, Paul. We'll do it again tomorrow. Once again, just repeating, it's twice tomorrow, 7 a.m. and 8 a.m. Your chance to win the $10,000.
1 in 16 the next time we play it.
Triple M.
Ladies.
Delving deep inside the mystery and wonder of the female mind.
The women run the country.
It's ruined its angels.
Okay, we've got Mel on the phone. You'll hear Mel throughout the day on Triple M. Does an outstanding job. We've got Loz and we've got our other Mel, who's one of our producers here. Good morning, girls.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, what's the topic today, Loz?
Okay, so I've been reading about Meghan Markle and all this crap. It's just non-stop news cycle. But in one of the interviews, Thomas Markle Jr., her brother, mentioned that one of the reasons why Thomas Markle Sr. had such a problem with Harry, didn't approve of him, was because he didn't ask for her hand in marriage.
Oh, right.
He didn't come to him and say...
Controversial.
You know, can I marry your daughter?
Yeah. Yep.
Now, when they got married, Meghan was 36. Mm. She'd been divorced. Mm-hmm. And I would have thought that it would have been assumed that she makes her own decisions about that sort of thing.
Soiled goods, I think they used to call her.
Excuse me.
Oh, mate.
That's what my mum used to call it anyway.
Yeah.
That's just what I thought. But what is it still a thing to ask for the hand in marriage?
All right, Mel, what do you think?
Okay, so my hubby asked via text message.
Oh.
But no, it was a total like last minute. I do think it was an afterthought because we were already overseas and
he planned it.
What was he going to do if my dad just flipped back like a text saying, nah, mate?
Yeah.
Nah. Like, but I mean, I'm glad that he did ask. And I did ask him, did you ask my dad?
Okay. So it was important to you.
It was important. I think you should. But I mean, the Markles in that case, they're an absolute bunch of shockers.
Yeah,
so,
they are.
Like, why would you ask them?
I know. That's a good point. Like, does it really matter what he thinks? No. What about you, Mel? on the phone.
Other Mel. I think I have a lot of problems with marriage and traditions involved in marriage, and this is one of them. Because women aren't property. So I hate the idea of asking, hey, mate, can I have her now?
Mm.
And also, you know, the walking her down the aisle and giving her away, it just makes women sound like a sack of spuds. Like, she's mine, and now you can have her. You know,
yeah.
We're not property. And I think those tired old traditions where essentially that's exactly what it was about.
Mm.
You are a thing and we're selling you, essentially. You know,
so have we really moved on, have we? I didn't realise this, that I don't go to the father. So I've got two cows and a sheep.
Yeah.
And can I now have...
I don't think we have moved on. I certainly
the
have.
The dowry.
To the point where I don't get married at all.
Mm.
And, you know, I don't get along with my dad, so I'm pretty sure Daddy wouldn't be asking his opinion on anything.
Well, so he won't take the call then.
This is it.
That's right.
Geez, you're worse than the Markles.
What, yeah.
But what about on the shoe on the other
we're
foot?
We're a red hot mess.
What about shoe on the other foot? I mean, what about if my missus had to ask my my mum for my hand in marriage?
Yeah.
My mum would have said, take him. Yeah. Take. Yeah. You want a couple of the others?
Do you want anyone else?
Do you only want one?
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Angels. Well done. Good topic.
It's the 15th letter in the Greek alphabet,
mm-hmm.
and I was wondering why they went so far down. And it turns out that they didn't want to offend China because Z is the name of their president.
Right, yes.
And
eternal leader, actually.
Yeah, eternal. That's right. And it was one of those things where they didn't want to irritate China more than they already have.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think that it's kind of fair because names are very powerful.
They are.
For instance, I don't know anyone called Adolf. You know?
Yeah.
It's a bit tainted.
Yeah.
It's a little bit tainted.
Funny you should mention that. There was a rapper in America who was shot dead outside a cake shop last week, and his first name was Adolf.
Yeah, see,
with a PH.
Doesn't work, does it?
Phonetically.
Yeah. Oof. But my concern is... They care about what the Chinese people are going to think,
mm-hmm.
but they never stop to think how Delta would affect Delta Goodrum.
True.
And
true.
I just think about Delta, you know, living her life. Suddenly, you know, everything's fine. She's probably the only Delta she knows.
It'd be good if there was a vaccine, actually, for Delta Goodrum.
Yeah,
I've said it.
I've said it. Well, I think it would be pretty hard to have your name suddenly be the name of a life-destroying virus that's taken over the globe.
Imagine if your name was herpes.
Yeah.
Man, it's a bit like a cyclone. You know how cyclones come up and it'll be the name of someone you know?
That's right.
And then it becomes their kind of in-joke for a month. Their claim to fame is some kind of terrorising cyclone.
Tracy.
Yeah, exactly.
Katrina. Yeah, I went to school with a girl called Tracy.
Mm.
And any time she did anything, you know, if she was playing netball, oh, here comes Cyclone Tracy. If she got upset, oh, Cyclone Tracy, well, here come the bloody tears, here come the rains.
Has there ever been a Cyclone Gleeso?
No, they name them after, alternatively, after names, letters in the alphabet.
Right.
Boy, girl, boy, girl, boy, girl.
So you've missed out.
That's how they do it.
And
Gleeso is not a Christian name. It's obviously a surname.
Oh, Gleeson.
I didn't know that. Fair enough.
All right, Gleeso, you always have a list for us, an impressive list of the stories that didn't quite make the show.
I do. Well, the only I'll start off with more Adele news.
Oh,
She kept Paul Kelly off the number one spot this week with his album. So her album's come out. Yeah, well, that's right. Now Australians really have a reason to be, you know, ticked off at Adele. Paul Kelly's a bloody national treasure. He was a captain of the Ross Trevor first 11.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. Bushfire risk. There's still massive bushfire risk this year because of all the rain that we've had and all the grass has been growing full on. And I think by Wednesday, I think Wednesday's the last day. You're not allowed to burn after Tuesday.
Okay.
So anyone who's out there who has been putting it off, you've got to get it done now.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to burn everything. You can mulch it, chip it, whatever you want. But keeping the bushfire risk down is everybody's
responsibility. Do you do a burn off on your property?
Yep. Yeah, we've been burning madly.
In the shortest possible way, to explain to me how you do it. How do you, in ensure that the fire stays within where you want it to be?
Oh, well, we just put it in a collect all the stuff up that we need to collect up rather than burning it in situ.
Right.
So we make a big bonfire out of it.
That makes sense.
So we were doing that yesterday. I probably still stink of smoke at the moment, actually.
No, you're all right.
No more than usual. No.
Yeah, just cigarettes.
Yeah.
Now, there's Christmas tree shortage because of the drought, and people are driving hundreds of kilometres to get a Christmas tree. People, have you heard of Kmart?
Big W.
Have you heard of Big W? You don't need, and quite frankly, I find the pine trees that are live, I don't find them all that good for firstly the environment.
Mm-hmm.
You're better off getting one of those plastic trees from Kmart that's got its own built-in little lights.
Well, Loz, your mum's Canadian. Are you allowed to have a fake tree, or is that like sacrilege?
It was a big deal in our house.
It would be.
We always had a real tree, and my dad used to have to go and cut one down on the hill, and some of the ones that came back, I mean, prepubescent, these trees that had barely anything on them.
A bit piddly.
Yeah, but I think it was 2009 we made the change. It was a very big deal for Mum. She was a bit embarrassed. She made the change over to the plastic tree, and we all had to be very gentle. Dad said, don't you mention that bloody tree. I said, Mum, what happened to the real tree? Shut up. Shush. We're having a plastic one now and nobody's asking questions.
And one more thing, and this one, I'd bring back the cane, I say. Mm. Almost 500 state school lockdowns in the past 2 years, mostly from student violence towards teachers and classmates.
Wow.
I tell you what stops violence, a bit of violence handed back down here.
Right.
I mean, I got the cane just about every day at school and I look back on those days fondly.
Yeah, you turned out fine. So
that's madness.
Yeah,
and that's what they're the stories that got my eye that didn't make the show.
They didn't make the show, but they kind of did make the show in the end.
Yeah. It's 21 to 9, Triple M Brekkie.